Hello and welcome to People in Profit. I'm Charles Pellegrin. Is Hollywood still the place where movie magic happens? The home of the world's biggest film studios is going through a rough patch after the COVID-19 pandemic, crippling writers and actors strikes, and devastating fires. Los Angeles is waking up to the fact that it is no longer always the destination of choice for TV and film production. 2024 was the worst year for on-location filming in the city since they started tracking data 30 years ago, with productions enticed into shooting elsewhere by financial incentives offered by other U.S. states and foreign countries like Canada, Mexico, Australia, or New Zealand. Well, to better understand the ins and outs of the movie business, we'll talk to Serge Siritsky. He's a film producer and as well as an expert in film finance, thanks to his website, cinefinance.info. Thanks for being with us, Mr. Siritsky. And we'll also be joined by Stuart Nash, the New Zealand's former Minister for Economic Development, who also has an interesting perspective on this. While in office, he oversaw over $650 million in film subsidies to attract such huge Hollywood productions as Avatar or Minecraft. Thank you for being with us, Ms. Stuart Nash.
Absolute pleasure.
I want to start with you, Mr. Siritsky, with you, Serge. There's talk about Los Angeles ending up like Detroit, which was once the global capital of the auto industry and which experienced a devastating downturn when that industry globalized in the 1980s. Do you think that's necessarily Hollywood's fate?
No, I don't think it's fate. Hollywood and America is still by far the number one place to make films. They're well advanced in certain fields like animation and special effects. But the whole world has discovered that movie business and television business is very important and has invested and supported producing in the whole world. So there is much more competition than before. And for a few years, we lived with the effects of the strike and of the COVID, where no production was made at all. But the whole world is hurt by this slump in the cinema market.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn to you, Stuart Nash, now. Do you think Hollywood can bounce back from this moment of crisis? And can that be done simply by offering better financial incentives to the big studios? Is that really just the answer?
I don't think that's just the answer. I mean, a country like New Zealand, for example, you play to your strengths. There are things you can do in New Zealand that you just can't do anywhere else in the world. There are experts in certain craft that you can't get anywhere else in the world. So Hollywood, I agree with Serge. Hollywood is still the number one spot, right? But other countries are beginning to play to their strength. And as a result of that, we're seeing fantastic movies made all around the world. It doesn't mean that you hollow out Hollywood. It just means that, you've got to be smart in the way you attract movies to any country in the world. Same with America, though.
Before we move on with our conversation, I obviously want to talk about Trump's solution to this problem. In response to this issue, he's said that he wants to apply 100% tariffs on all foreign-made films that are broadcast in the United States. Let's get a snapshot of what U.S. film professionals think of that idea.
We're hoping that with the tariffs, it will just bring the productions back to Georgia and let us compete amongst each other, not internationally.
We rely on exporting our films to other countries. So I think the concern for a lot of people working in the film industry is that there might be retaliatory measures that would then be sort of other countries putting tariffs on American films, which would ultimately hurt us more than help us.
I'm going to turn to you, Serge Siritsky, for a reaction on this. First of all, how do you see such a proposal actually being enforced?
I don't see it. I think it's quite impulsive. I think it's because Trump hates Hollywood because they're a Democrat. If the Americans shoot in other countries, it's because for two reasons. One is that it's much cheaper. Some countries like Czechia or Hungary, they're very low. They have very low prices. And the other one is because those films take place in other countries. And Avatar, which is one of the greatest success in movie history, was shot in New Zealand because Cameron thought the only landscape that he could use in this film were in New Zealand. So if those measures were applied, the U.S. production would go down. Films would just not be made, and it would be a disaster for the American film industry. And then those taxes they apply on what is shot outside of the United States, or on the whole film, if a part of it is shot outside of the United States. I don't see how they could apply it.
Extremely complicated to think about that. A point made by Wes Anderson, wondering if you could stop a movie at customs, obviously. Stuart Nash, how should a country like New Zealand think about responding to such a proposal? Do you go the road of a trade war with retaliatory measures? What does one country do?
No, a country the size of New Zealand has no hope of competing with America in any form of trade war. But the movie industry is very important to New Zealand. It's about a US $2 billion a year industry. I mean, a lot of the clients that come across from the US from my company, Nash Kelly Global, come here because of the scenery that they see in the movies. Let me give you one example. Lord of the Rings was made in New Zealand. About 19% of all Americans who came to New Zealand came here because of the scenery they saw in Lord of the Rings. But, you know, we would not look to put on retaliatory measures. There is no point in that. But if President Trump wants to go through with his musings on Truth Social, it would probably kill the film industry in New Zealand. And as mentioned, a lot of the clients that come to New Zealand as clients of my company, Nash Kelly Global, you know, they come here because of what they've seen. So we're just sitting back and watching and waiting and seeing if the musings of President Trump actually become policy. We suspect, like Serge has said, it would be very difficult to implement. We don't know what it would look like, but we take it seriously.
Looking for alternative ways to protect an industry, to nurture an industry, France is an interesting test case. How would you say France has managed to protect its own industry? The country still has one of the highest levels of movie attendance from everyday moviegoers in the world.
Exactly. Well, France has a very intelligent system. First, we have what we call compte de soutien. It's a system where there is a tax on before VAT, there 10% tax on every ticket. But it's not a tax that goes to the states. It goes to the exhibitor, to the distributor, or the producer of the film.
Sort of an investment fund.
Exactly. And he could get it back if he invested in a new theater or a new film. And it's also a tariff because it goes only to French films. So they get much more than this 10%. Sometimes they could get 20 or 30% of what they paid. So they have to invest all the time in new films, new scripts, this is the number one reason why the French industry is so successful. And another way is that they force the TV channels to buy certain percentage of films, or they must use a certain percentage of their income to buy French and European films, and those investments must be diversified in small budget films and high budget films. So this is important. And the regions, the equivalent of the American states, invest a lot in movies. Sometimes with subsidies, but sometimes also they're a co-producer. for the film. So there is a lot of money available and money that must be invested.
I want to take a step back before we end our conversation and think about the fact that it's been 10 years now since the advent and the real sort of the popularization of streaming. And it's really changed the way people consume and even think about cinema. I'm going to start with you, Serge. Would you say it's responsible for the crisis we're seeing today by encouraging people to stay at home instead of going to the theater and paying for a ticket?
In a way, yes, because people now got used to watch those streaming programs. And they're, before they said we're going to movies. Today, they're going to see this film because you must see it. It's much more competitive. But for the movie industry, it's a new market. For the producers, the directors, the actors, it's a tremendous market. So when they say Hollywood movie industry went down, well, there was all those new series that are made today were not made before.
Mm-hmm. So in a way, it made it more competitive. Any thoughts on this, Stuart Nash?
I completely agree with Serge. You know, there is a different way of consuming content these days. It's not, but I agree with Serge. The market is growing. There is so many more films being made because movies these days are not just shown in movie theaters. They're shown in the home. I mean, in New Zealand, you go to the movies and most of the time the theaters are full. So we went through a period where people said that this is going to be the death of the industry. Quite the opposite in New Zealand, and I'm assuming globally. It's still an event, right? People still love going out to the movies. You know, you go out, you have, it's an experience. And I think they get that. But also now people can consume at home as well, which, as Serge says, it just opens up a completely new market. There are more films being made, more opportunities for experts, actors, and everyone involved in the film industry. And in New Zealand, that's about 24,000 people.
So many aspects to this conversation. We haven't even talked about the impact that artificial intelligence could have on the sector, notably by reducing the cost of production. But unfortunately, it's a wrap for today. Stuart Nash, New Zealand's former Minister for Economic Development, thank you for speaking with us. And Serge Siritsky, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us as well.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for watching. As usual, you can watch all of the previous episodes of People in Profit by looking for the show on the France 24 app. In the meantime, thanks for watching and stay tuned.